Hello and welcome back to the Single 8 show on Transcended Media. Your name is...
My name is Michael Davis. Your name is...
Hannah Mill, y'all.
And today, we will continue our conversations about the National Day of Silence, which is a day... This year was a day of speaking out loud, as we talk about some things in which the denomination that I am a part of, I am a pastor in the United Methodist Church. In the upcoming weeks, there will be many voices at Charlotte, North Carolina, beginning April the 23rd, to advocate for full inclusionary language for our LGBTQIA+ siblings. So, Single H... I realize that there's a potential this week's Single H show might sound like a trans parenting because I might know a little bit more than you do, but why don't you share your knowledge and understanding of the affirming side of the United Methodist Church?
It's pretty good. We, even on that side, we're still moving. We're still all actively in the state of growing as how all these conversations, if you catch my tone, you know what I mean, are...
Let's don't hold back. We get the bull punches on the Single Leg show, buddy.
At these conversation, a.k.a. small argument... that are getting blown.
Alright, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, that's why I said, if you recognize my tone...
I recognize you. Now I recognize your tone.
That are getting blown out of proportion, and we're slowly becoming more and more welcoming, and we're going through the process. Every side is still actively growing. We need to acknowledge that. Even the other side of the conversation ain't at full strength yet. And the possibility of them are not very, very low.
So, let's process some of the things you said. My job is the...
Translator.
Is the translator of things that you share.
Yeah. You can...
Faith in a whole is in a journey. In a complete structure, faith is in a journey. We have individuals within the life of faith that exists in a very conservative mindset, a very conservatively restrictive mindset that exists within a realm that they feel like that they have all the strength and all the rights because within their words and their interpretation, they are living life through scriptural accuracy. And through living life through scriptural accuracy, there's things that the Bible says.
Yes. But
I will debate that in a minute.
But as we know,
but
there, it has already been lost in translation slightly.
Aaron, the scripture is translated in the... And I have always fully believed this statement, that the Bible is the Word of God that has been interpreted... by man.
Yeah.
And it's that last part, when it's interpreted by human nature, is where things start to get askew. So we have that one side. We also have another side that is very openly and affirming, and they want to make sure that everyone knows that God is an affirming God and God is welcoming. So we have that stance too. And what's happened within our denomination is we exist within multiple churches and multiple denominations. And within that, we have multiple points of view and multiple opinions of the truth that has caused us to be at odds with each other.
Yeah.
So much to the point that within the United Methodist Church, we have this thing, it's called the Book of Discipline. And the Book of Discipline is this book of rules and bylines that we use. And we say, this structure is what says, this is who we are to the world. And it's a little bit more than a document that says Jesus Christ died for our sins and we're going to go to heaven. It is a document that combs into housing insecurities, food insecurities, legal biases, racial injustice. We comb everything out to the extent that we truly proclaim within any action that takes place in existence, this is how we proclaim that we will interact with those things. And unfortunately, there was a time frame that restrictive language was put into the book of discipline against sexual identity and sexual orientation. Single H.
Yes.
I need you to explain those two phrases because some people think that those phrases are the same thing. But sexual identity and sexual
orientation
are different.
Yes.
Explain them.
And first we're gonna hop dip a couple words away that mean the same thing as sexual identity.
Okay.
Cause I'm pretty sure you're hitting gender. Gender identity.
I meant to say gender identity and sexual identity are the words that I meant to say.
Gender identity. So, gender, is your sense of heart. Not necessarily what's in your pants, but necessarily what is the deep down, dark dip color that you get into your heart.
So it's not about what's in your pants, it's what about... it's what's about in your chest.
Yes.
I'm sorry, we're going to be grown-ups now.
That's the only way I knew how to explain it.
That was quite blatant and clear.
That everyone would understand.
That was quite blatant and clear.
And
it's about your soul. It's not about your genetic makeup.
Yes.
Okay.
And sexual orientation is who are you attracted to? Noted that I didn't say sexual. Who you are attracted to. Or how other people would say it, your type.
Yes. So those two different phrases are very important because they get so blended into each other that even I misinterpreted them a minute ago.
Yep.
And gender identity and sexual identity are the words that we should be trying to use in this conversation. But those things get so blended together that individuals create this monster of ickiness because they don't like who has sex with who.
Yet.
But it's not about sex. It's about identity and it's about being. Would you agree with that statement?
Yep.
Yeah. But it gets so intertwined with that ickiness that we brush everything under this collective blanket as so much that we cannot have honest conversations and terminology. And we get into arguments that we begin to talk about what is not right in the eyes of the Lord. So, I want to lay something straight out on Front Street before that you and I go any further. And
yep.
You know I feel this way. I do not believe an individual's gender identity, nor do I believe that an individual's sexual identity relates to any form of or level of a sin. I believe that individuals are who they are, and individuals should be affirmed in the wholeness of who God has made them to be, whether or not that being connects genetically or not. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
But we've been fighting about this forever.
Yep.
And it's this week. So what's happening? Beginning on April the 23rd, every Methodist, United Methodists throughout the world, is meeting in Charlotte, North Carolina, to sit down and to talk about what it means to be a United Methodist and to create a means in which individuals who may not agree with that terminology can find the freedom to embark and worship in a new way and a new expression.
Yeah.
So, essentially, what you will hear in the news is the United Methodist Church is splitting over sexuality, and that's not completely true. That is not completely true.
Good. I've been conversations at annual conference. They're fighting about us, too. Don't get that. Don't. You can't sweep that under the rug.
You cannot. The fight is not about sexual identity. We are currently in an argument, and it extends past LGBTQIA+. There are issues of homelessness. There's issues of poverty issues. There are still immense level of gender imbalance that exists within the United Methodist Church. So the arguments and the discussions that are taking place next week are not our discussions around sexuality. They're discussions around identity. So, does that kind of make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything that is a disempowered identity is being discussed at this general conference. So, hopefully, at the end of the day, when this conference ends, that I believe it'll be May 3rd, it'll be 2 weeks of conversations.
Yeah.
I believe on May 3rd is the last day. But where the news media will share with you that the United Methodist Church is on the verge of a split over sexual identity. Sexual identity. This is not about sexual identity. It's about identity. So, I want you to talk about things that you have seen imbalance, because you're in the upper echelon, buddy. You are I'm not going to say what position you hold, but you hold a position that's kind of high up.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, like, I'm pretty sure off of what I've heard, like, I'm one of the only non-binary people in that rank. And even in line with our bishop right now, there's not a lot of women in power. And I'm glad to say that the council is luckily the other way around.
Explain, not age frame, but use numbers and genders and ethnicity.
Our council had currently 3 women, 1 man, and I'm the 1 non-binary person. And we have groups. We have most ethnic groups within only that 5 people. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That is pretty cool. And that split up in your leadership area is probably the best mix that I see.
Yeah.
Even though within that, there is 2 ethnic people that I've noticed. Right?
Yeah.
So, well, there's still a generalized good mix, even within ethnicities.
Yeah.
I know, please don't email me at thesingleagedshow@gmail.com. I know ethnic people was a bad phrasing. I'm apologizing right now. People of color is a phrase I should have used.
Yes.
Yeah. But what I look at, too, is, and our focus on the Single Age Show is LGBTQIA+ focus and identity, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about that. Because within the structure of our church, if you are a LGBTQIA+ individual, there's a strong possibility that you would never be appointed to one of the larger churches in our conference. Because, God bless, an LGBTQIA+ sibling would commonly be appointed to a local church that focuses on LGBTQIA+ equality. The other end of that is our friends of color within our denomination. And I have seen the struggle of individuals, our friends of color, to be appointed to places because quite commonly our siblings of color are appointed to churches that share that identity. So if the largest church in our annual conference is primarily Caucasian, an African-American person may not end up being appointed there, or so forth.
It's the thing, I think right now as a church, we need to move towards mixing ideas within places that may not take well to that idea.
Yes.
That's what we need to do.
So I want you to hash that out. Can you explain that a little deeper? You just made a profound statement. Say it again, but break it down.
So currently, we're in the state of, oh, you have the same ideas as me? Let's team up. Unless, hey, you have a different idea than I do, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think you're taking it in the right direction, so let's raise you up, and let's put what my ideas down for you to be raised up and have a better voice.
Okay, so what you just explained, we would call holy conferencing within our practice, as within our Wesleyan practice. It is attempting to have the entire conversation. But unfortunately, what happens is we don't have the entire conversation. We go to our district conference, our annual conference, and we try to find people that are like-minded with us, and we only have conversations with people that agree with us. It's human nature that makes that happen, but it's a really harmful and hurtful and destructive human nature that exists within doing that. And I guarantee that even though that many friends from around the world will start convening in Charlotte, North Carolina, on April the 23rd, even in that larger platform, individuals will start to cluster in like-minded groups. People call it the lunchroom theology. Do you understand that?
Yes. The mean girl theology.
The mean girl theology. Where that we really need to work on what you eloquently just explained as holy conferencing. And so one of the things that we are really rooting for, and as this is an LGBTQIA+ focused conversational podcast, one of the things that they will be discussing is removing the restrictive language of membership, leadership, and ordination from the Book of Discipline. Anyone can be a professing member. Anyone can be in a place of leadership. Anyone can be ordained in ministry. And also within that, removing the restrictive language of ceremonial rites, which means I would be able to freely, without fear of dismissal, participate in a LGBTQIA+ union. I'm trying not to say same-sex marriage anymore because that phrase isn't correct. LGBTQIA+ union. So that a lot of work will be going on through that. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll go back to our regular format of the Single H Show. We'll talk about other topics of advocacy and so forth.
Yeah.
But as we do have a connection to the United Methodist Church, I wanted to share with all of you that are listening to this, the conversations will be beginning on April 23rd, and one of the possible results of that will become and could become an inclusive denomination. God bless, one of the results of that could become a more restrictive denomination. If it becomes a more restrictive denomination, I need to pray about what I'm going to do because I cannot serve in a restrictive denomination. But I really don't think it'll end to that. The most plausible thing that could happen is at the end of this, we end up with a new affirming denomination. Yep. And a new denomination that wants to move forward with, continue with restrictive language. So I personally feel, and don't hold this as fact, that I feel that at the end of this, especially through legislation that's being presented on a journey of common separation, that we will see a new denomination sparked in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seems likely how things are going.
Yeah.
I don't think it's gonna... I think that's the only way it can end.
I think the only... equitable separation is the word I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And I think the only way this can end is sometimes, no matter how bad we want a marriage to stay together, sometimes a divorce is the best thing.
Yeah. And
I think that our denomination needs to move towards that divorce.
And there's already been so many things within the conference foreshadowing that, for sure.
Yes.
Like, yes. It's already seemed cut and dry.
It seems cut and dry that that's where it's going to end. Yeah. All right. Well, that was a lot. Next week,
go a little bit lighter next week.
Is there any way that we can play some fun games on the single age?
Yeah, like I've been trying to do still, all the time,
and not have it to become the single age power hour.
Yeah,
is there a way that we can have some affirming games?
We can do gay nerd stuff. Come on. Come on.
All right, I'll figure out if I want to edit that out. I'm glad you said that and I didn't.
I said stuff. I said stuff.
That was a single age show for this week.
Your name is
Michael Davis. Your name is
Hunter Mills. Y'all have a great week. Woo! Woo!